Welcome to the Game of Thrones podcast, the officially unofficial podcast for Game of Thrones on HBO. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And we're here. We just got done watching Season 8, Episode 1. I have no idea what this episode is called because apparently HBO didn't tell anybody.
It's called Arya.
Not their mothers. Like, it didn't leak.
Yeah, they didn't. I did a little bit of looking, and in the thread, the official, like, the pre-thread on, like, the different Reddit sites, they had no title, and people, like, the top 50 threads are people praising HBO for, like, being ironclad with the spoilers. They don't even let the episode title. But I think it's called Arya and the Caravan of Emotions.
Okay. It could be Got That Brand Stare. Could be that.
Bran will ruin the mood of any room that he's in.
It could be John's mind is blown.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that was a really good scene. What do you think of the episode?
Man, I have this kind of like excitement, but nervous. I feel like I'm watching a kid, my own child, do like a piano recital where it's like I'm really excited if everything goes well. But like for the whole time they're playing, I'm like, waiting for the bad note to come. So I guess, yeah, I think with that kind of high pressure, high wire expectation act, I think it did really good. I was a little worried, and I felt like there was a lot of throat clearing and a lot of like it felt like they were stalling before, but I think you also needed some time to reshift back in to the episode. And I also was delighted that they redid the credit sequence. Like, we were just about to start fast-forwarding through it, and like, what? Wait, the fucking wall's falling.
That's a wooden ring. What the hell's happening here?
Isn't, and there's a whole other, the whole astrolabe was now, instead of showing the fall of the Targaryens, I think it's showing, what kicked off this latest round of,
the rise of the Targaryens?
Yeah, I mean, I only got to see it the one time, but I think the second thing they showed was Ned being beheaded, and then the birth of the dragons with the Bleeding Star, and like, I like that you're now seeing the eight seasons being mythologized within the universe of the whole of the show. And I thought that was pretty cool. And it's a really good episode. It hit all the points it needed to. There's a few times where I felt like they were literally just ticking off check boxes that script needs to, like, Theon must save his sister.
Yeah. They really sped through that stuff too.
All the Greyjoy. All the Greyjoy like resolution, right? Getting with them where they need that felt a little bit kind of, but on the whole, they nailed all the reunions they needed to nail. So what did you think of the episode?
Yeah, I mean, you know, saying that they kind of blew through all that stuff isn't a bad thing for me, because I know we've only got six episodes this season.
Right.
It's going to be real short, and there's still a lot to do. So,
right.
Like, some of the more minor points, like, they spend a lot of time on, like, Arya and Jon. They spend a lot of time on this reveal that Jon is a Targaryen.
Right.
Or at least the reveal to him.
Yeah.
And they, kind of gloss over and just do a real quick sort of, and Yara's alive. Oh, and Theon saves her. Mm-hmm. Oh, and, like, Euron comes back, and he's got the gold company, and he's going to bang Cersei. And there was... I'm really up in the air on what I think about Cersei's pregnancy at this point because of that scene. And I don't know if this is something we need to talk about. I'll probably think about it more in the coming day or two. And Tuesday we'll talk about it in depth. But I'm really not certain if she's pregnant or not, because she gives that really weird look after Euron's like, I'm going to put a prince in your belly or whatever he says.
I'll put a prince in your belly.
Yeah. So I don't know. It kind of threw me for a loop. But yeah, I on the whole... really enjoyed this episode.
And if I was going to say anything critical, like if you listen to our coverage from last year, the one things I guess I was afraid of is them making a real meal out of the whole, oh my god, John's a true king, what should he do, Danny's crazy, like all this like inter struggle, which was kind of painful to watch, but not painful because it's poorly done. Like when they're all meeting with the northern lords and they're grousing about John kneeling and not being the king anymore, but like, this system of government is very important to the people. Like this, like, it seems silly from our perspective, and it means something. Like, if it didn't mean anything, then you wouldn't have all these fighting over who is the rightful heir and who does this and what family did that. So like, in universe, it makes a lot of sense. I guess it sucks that John himself, the champion of this nut doesn't matter, seems like suddenly he's like, oh, well, maybe this does matter.
I think the way in which it matters is the way that Sam puts it at the end, you know, it's, yeah, it's a question of what kind of leader Danny is.
Right.
And I think that's the most interesting way to frame this. I'm so glad they went that way.
Yeah. And they did set this up last year where there was a lot of people, not last year, 2 years ago, where there was a lot of people saying that, you know, there are reasons to be nervous about Danny, and a lot of things that Danny did last season are coming home to roost now. Like the, like you could even see in Sam, like Sam's like, okay, yeah, you burnt my father. He is a real asshole, but you know, my brother, and then she's like, oh no, he stood at your father too. And the fact that they were prisoners of war, like, that was pretty extreme behavior. She was warned, and now she's paying a price. Like, so so when I say I don't like it, it's more from like Aaron the pragmatist who wishes everyone would just join together, fight the thing that's the existential threat, and then sort it all at the end. Is annoyed, but that's, again, it would probably be,
that's almost too neat, right?
It would be like, weird, and it would be not be Game of Thrones if everybody is just like, oh yeah, let's just roll up our sleeves and get to work. And there are people doing that. Like, I thought it was nice to see Gendry, like, he's like very focused on maximizing our obsidian sources and crafting that. And
speaking of which,
yeah,
I guess I didn't expect them to smith obsidian this way, the dragonglass this way.
Yeah, it's very...
To melt it down and shape it in molds. And like,
yeah, I thought they were going to flake it off and do it that way.
Like you would with like typical rock type carvings.
I mean, it makes sense. Like, obsidian is just volcanic glass, so I'm sure it would melt. I mean, I'm sure all this checks out.
I mean, anything melts it at high enough temperature, right?
Yeah, it'd be funny, though, if it's like it's volcano magic that does it, and, you know, they've ruined it. They've ruined all, you know, they're trying to make it better, and now they've ruined it, but
yeah,
it was cool, and I like that Gendry has something to do, and I thought, what'd you make of him and Arya's kind of reunion? They're going for some light shipping. That was ship bait.
That was always the big question, wasn't it? Like whether or not like this was more of a brother sister thing, or more of a might have eyes for this person.
Maybe it was brother and sister, but now they've been apart for a couple of years, and they've both grown and look good, and, you know.
Yeah.
So I
don't know. Maybe they're going for that.
I don't know.
I just can't see Arya with anybody in the end.
Yeah, I mean, if she's with somebody, it's going to be a pretty unconventional type of relationship.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, maybe Gendry. And just that she's such a interesting character. Like, what would it be like to couple up with a ninja?
Someone that broke?
Yeah, like a blood magic-fueled ninja assassin her whole life has been about vengeance.
Would you rather couple up with Arya or Bran? At this point, that's the real question.
I mean, Arya's still recognizably human.
Fair.
Bran is like, it's the scene like when Jon's like, oh, you're a man now. What'd he say? Like almost or not quite or?
Yeah, almost.
Yeah, almost. Mm-hmm. Or not. Not quite, I think, would have been better. Because
he's something between.
He's grown, but it's inhuman what he is. But I also liked it that Bran is the one, the first one to be like, we don't have time for any of this bullshit.
Yeah.
So I like that quite a bit. I think that the things I was really expecting, the things I was really nervous for the show is all the different reunions I knew that Arya was going to have to make. And I was kind of blown away that they just put them all in this episode, like Jon and Sandor and Gendry. And I thought every one of them was almost pitch perfect. Like, I was actually worried that Arya, she's so reserved and cold that she would actually be a little, she'd almost mildly brand Jon. But there's still enough of the old Arya and their chemistry, and I just thought everything is like, you know, him admiring Needle and her admiring Longclaw, and him kind of being like, hey, I was kind of surprised you to help me with Sansa, and she's going to be like, me and Sansa are tight. We killed Littlefinger together. We had our squabbles last year, brother. Now we're all smooth sailing. I thought they nailed all of those moments, and they were kind of tricky moments to nail because they weren't all the same thing. Like each, like, you know, the Jon and Arya was very brotherly, sisterly. The Gendry Arya was a little bit more, and then the Hound was just, you're a cold bitch, but I guess that's why you're alive. And
yeah, sort of two peas in a pod in that way.
Are they cool? Like, she was technically on his list, but yeah.
Like, I don't know what this list means to her anymore, you know? It's something where I could definitely still see Cersei at the top of that list. Mm-hmm. But the Hound was definitely on it, and it doesn't seem like Arya is too, you know, just really champ at the bit to go kill the Hound.
Right.
So,
He's a good fighter. We'll I hope she, if she's going to kill him, it's going to be after the war.
Yeah.
I thought one of the meetings I guess I should have been thinking about this, but I didn't, was Sansa and Tyrion.
Yeah.
As soon as the camera showed them meeting, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is like a fucking big moment.
Yeah.
And I thought they handled that extremely well, too.
Are they still technically married?
If you don't consummate a marriage in this world, then I don't think it counts.
Okay.
But there was that tension and energy and all that.
They're bringing all that to
And there's tons of people to ship Arya or Sansa and Tyrion too. And I don't know that. I don't think anything could. I don't think any particular bucket of cold water would do that in just one scene. But
this scene, she's essentially saying you're an idiot,
right?
And I agree. Like Tyrion, what are you thinking here?
Yeah.
Like, you really think that your sister isn't above playing you simply because she has or does not have a child in her belly?
Right.
As Euron would say.
And that's the thing. Like, I don't know. I do miss smart Tyrion. Like, now we're getting kind of dumb, easily taken advantage of Tyrion, and Tyrion that relies way too much on the, you don't have testicles, Varys.
I felt like that was them getting some jokes in before shit gets real.
There was a couple of things where I thought they were talking right to the viewer.
It was the elephants.
Uh-huh. Yeah, like everyone is really hot on the elephants, and they're like, "Look, we can't afford to animate direwolves. You want an elephant battle? Go watch Return of the King.
Go watch Dumbo.
Yeah,
that's coming out soon. It's probably already out. I don't know.
But I thought, all of those reconnections. I thought, I didn't see Bronn's mission coming that. You know, Cersei would give him Joffrey's fucking crossbow and task him with killing both of her brothers.
This is going to be a tough one for him.
He's not going to do it.
No,
come on.
He can't do it.
No
way.
Yeah. I don't know why he would back her over the... Although, I guess...
I mean, his only real reason to is that he's looking out for himself.
Yeah.
And if he really thinks that Cersei is going to win this and he's going to get rewarded for it, maybe he thinks about it. But honestly, I think... The friendship that he's developed with Tyrion and Jaime are going to overwhelm any kind of reward that Cersei could offer him.
I thought his line about, oh, this fucking family, when the crossbow came out, it's like, yeah, that's about right. But that's the thing, like, if he wants gold and power and all that stuff, he probably backs Cersei. If he's going to find an altruistic bone in his body, then he backs the two brothers.
Oh, there were, speaking of, you know, this crossbow thing, I think this crossbow is perfect. Mm. I love that they brought
this
back
because it only
stands for, like, you fucking shot our father with this.
Right.
You asshole. And
right.
Now it's going to come and it's going to kill you.
Right.
But you killed Joffrey, whose weapon this was.
Yeah.
Or at least, you know, I don't know if she still considers, you know, Tyrion the murderer of Joffrey or
probably.
If she believes the Queen of Thorns thing or not.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was super, it was just perfect.
Yeah.
I liked seeing the crossbow come back.
One thing that came in with the Arya and Gendry meeting is it seems that Arya wants him to build some kind of potentially a super weapon for her. Like, it's some kind of spear. It's either going to be tipped with obsidian or maybe Valyrian steel, and maybe it's a telescoping one.
Maybe, or the tip comes off.
It's detachable,
maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to see again that we've only seen this once. So we didn't rewind or pause or anything like that. I want to do some more analysis of that scene before I guess about what it's going to be. But like, that seems like a big flashing red. This is important. This is going to be a cool moment when we finally get to it. And then, man, scene of the night is the Night King doing a little bit of a collage work on the walls of the Last Hearth with the very young Umber heir.
Dude.
It was arresting when his eyes opened in the background. It was like something out of a James Wan horror movie.
Yeah.
And then the little boy screaming and writhing as he's burning and all the limbs are slowly catching on fire.
I just, like, from the moment we... Because I knew the reveal was coming and you know, all of us were sitting here in the studio thinking, oh, shit, this is going to be a callback to the first episode where the Night's King arranges the bodies of the horses.
You knew it was coming.
You knew it was coming, but I didn't know it was going to be this horrific.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I have not seen something this... disgusting, an image this disturbing since like Human Centipede, honestly.
Well, the other thing is, like, when the kid reanimated, he was clearly clutching a sword, and the way Tormund had his back, I mean, that's the other cool thing about this is so many of the scenes from the trailer were from this episode, and I recognized that immediately. And I'm like, oh, Tormund, I had 5 seconds to process. Tormund could die right here, right now. And that's the great thing about last season of Game of Thrones. Literally,
yeah.
Anyone save maybe Janny and Donnie, John and Danny, can die at any time.
The Night King. The Night King's not just going to up and die in episode
one. I guess
those
are going to have dramatically... But everyone else could essentially die from just some random fuckery. And that puts a lot of urgency that... like I said, I haven't felt that kind of urgency for a while in Game of Thrones. Where it's like, oh shit, oh yeah, Tormund could die right now. How do I feel? Oh, he's not going to die. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was great. I'm super excited to see what they do in the next episode with John, with the big reveal about John.
Yeah.
And him knowing now and putting Danny to the test. Like,
because he found some things out about Danny he didn't know either. Like, you know, clearly.
About burning Sam's family.
Yeah. And, then John's trying to process, like, hey, I've executed men who disobeyed me. And I thought that was some pretty smart exchanges. And it's new information, something he has to really think about. And, but, again, I expect to be annoyed by a lot of the late-stage politics going on in next episode. But, what are you going to do? I think, again, it would be very unrealistic if all the Northerners just like, oh, yeah, Dragon Queen, come on. Yes, Queen Slay, we want you to come up. That's not who they are.
Yeah.
So, what else do you have anything else you want to talk about?
Not really. I'm going to go back and watch this at least once more, probably twice. Come back on Tuesday with a full podcast.
Yeah. So
it's the end of the instant take. We do a thing called the instant talk after this, which is interactive with our audience, and we get them on the line. They can ask questions and just chat about this episode and we'll respond to them.
But if you have feedback for the main podcast, please send it in to gameofthrones@baldmove.com. There's also forum threads on forums.baldmove.com if you just want to talk with some of your fellow fans. As Jim mentioned, we'll be back this Tuesday for our full podcast for this episode, whatever it's called, episode 68 of Game of Thrones.
Yep.
And until then, we'll see you later.